Hi, folks. Okay. Some confusion that, you know, may have been zero overhead is better than zero copy. So it's zero copy plus plus. Seth, I'm giving this talk under the SDS now because the first use cases I have for it is for the Ceph file system and for any software-defined file system as well, right? But it's a generic infrastructure for zero overhead, right? We'll talk about the motivation, why copy is bad. I hope everyone knows why, but you know, I'll say a few words. I'll talk about the solution. We'll go through a demo that I have. It's on GitHub. I'm not sure it compiles, so good luck. It will improve in due course. And I'll be talking about the usage, right? Or how I'm planning to use it. So data movement, bad. And we're going to focus on a very specific location, on the boundary between the kernel and the user space, right? So when you receive data or you send data, you cross the kernel user space boundary and bytes are moving, right? Your cache gets polluted, your cycles are getting wasted, and it's a bane on your performance. So copy is bad, it's not used. Usually what we have, as I mentioned, you will have this NIC, network interface card. You know, actually, it does move data, it does use some of the bus, but we're talking about the CPU, right? So you'll have the kernel buffer, and you have one copy into the user. And for example, for the focus of this talk today and this tool, we're talking about proxy systems. So for something like a Ganesha, or you know what, something easier like Memcached, right? Something, or a CBN. That's a better example, where you have data that you want to cache on your side and then forward, right? So when you are not actually interested in the data itself, but rather you're a proxy system. You have data coming in and you have to send it out once or twice or how many times that you would like, but none of the times you're actually interested in reading the information itself. So if you're not interested, let's see if we remove this capability, what we can get. And we can get a lot, right? So usually you will have this buffer, you copy it into user, you cache it if it's a CBN or some kind of cache, and then you copy it back each and every time when you have to send it, right? So how many CPU cycles? A lot. It depends a lot on the speed of your network card, right? So the working size of your memory really matters. So it's kind of, it's a number, it makes sense. But really depends on a lot of different factors on how much memory you're using. When you're not copying data, you're using much less memory, fewer bytes moved. So this will improve your performance a lot, again, depending on your exact use case. So what zero overhead eliminates, and why I'm calling it zero overhead and not zero copy. Usually have copies, but you do have a message zero copy and other stuff inside the kernel today already. They all, I'm on camera, have their own drawdowns, right? They inefficient in some ways. They're trying to remap your page tables, right, on the fly, and it hurts performance, right? So with zero overhead, it means your information moves from the NIC to and back to itself, basically, without any overhead, right? It's just the control plane, and your data plane doesn't move any bytes, and it doesn't manipulate any metadata that you would need in order to avoid moving bytes. It's just there, right? So now that you're aware of the kind of the magical capabilities of our solution, let's kind of see what it actually does. Okay, actually, I'm repeating myself here. So the idea is that because you're not moving data, you actually keep the data inside the kernel, right? It stays inside the kernel. It stays inside the kernel buffers. You, as the proxy system, only need a handler and your kind of offset and size of what you want to do when it's sent, right? So we only have the buffer IDs, socket IDs, offset and length, as I mentioned. There are no pointers to the data. There are handlers that you can use in order to address the data and say, here, I'm sending it this. It's a handler, not a pointer, right? Because you can't actually access it. And all the kernel I/O happens exclusively inside the kernel, right? User space, in this example, we're using IOURing to communicate with our kernel driver that does it. I will give an example of a specific use case a bit later, right? So what the user does do, right? So we allocate buffer handles. This is a solution to a problem that we have today. Mainly, we kind of make sure that there is a slot in our kernel driver space for allocated buffers. It's just to make sure that we can manage our memory in a good way. We can get back pressure in the kernel sockets and things don't explode. It's not a necessity, it's a solution today, right? In a good way, you just receive a packet and get a pointer or a way of addressing your bytes in a way that the kernel understands, right? But today we pre-allocate the buffers and we know which the buffers are actually descriptors, right? We pre-allocate descriptors. And we have them ready and we know that the TCP sockets can handle them and we can manage them. I'll give an example. It's a bit abstract. We create and manage sockets, but the sockets we are using are kernel sockets, right? So we have a kernel driver that creates kernel sockets, and what you have in user space is an abstraction. Like we have this library, user space library, that provides you a socket-like API, but the sockets themselves that are using, TCP, UDP, whatever you like, are inside the kernel, right? So we get receive completion notifications, and you can request to get a peek inside the data that you're seeing, right? Because when you receive data, you may want to look at the headers, for example, right? If it's kind of type of TLV information, right? This is what you got, this is the size of it, and the offset of whatever you want to do, right? You don't actually need to see the whole data. You might need to see parts of it, like small parts of it. And so, but you can't access the data in any way, right? This is the kernel architecture, basically, as I've described. You have this dev CFK process handler, like a fuse. And you have this buffer pool inside the kernel. You have the socket manager. And you have kind of the zero copy IO engine. It's kind of an abstraction pins that there are changes to be made inside the kernel sockets, or actually, I'll discuss it a bit later. It's a bit in the one later to talk about it. But that's the architecture. You have the kernel sockets, you have the buffers, and you have the application. That one of the uses, potential use cases, is CephFuse. Again, we'll discuss it a bit later. You have the handles with it. You can create it. And we have the actual binaries, the library for interaction with our kernel device. So data flow, receive path. So we have the NIC, we have the TCP stack, we have the kernel receive message, which the problem that we have in today's implementation, that the kernel API copies the bytes inside the kernel as well, right? It has the same copy semantics. But it's not a given, right? There are callbacks that can be used, and you can get the IOVEC that from the actual buffers that were received from the NIC itself, right? So it's an implementation limitation today, because my focus was to get the infrastructure going and then to actually make sure that, you know, the bits and bytes actually do not copy, right? So you have the kernel receive message, and it goes into our data buffer pool. That's kind of the pre-allocation that we have today already, right? So in the correct implementation, with the correct, we'll have zero copies, right? And you'll have this buffer ID, which today actually points to an actual buffer with an actual size, but the idea is it points to an IOV vec of receive pages, right? Again, they have the sizes, but it's not a single buffer, it's an IOV vec as received from the network side, yep, after the TCP. That's the forward path. You receive the buffer, you have this ID, and then you send it, right? But again, you don't send it on an actual socket, you send it to a device, and it's sent via the kernel socket, right? Again, true zero copy needs to be handled there. Okay, why user space initiates and enterprise, and a couple of excuses. Mainly, I didn't get to fixing it properly, but you still need back pressure on your TCP sockets, right? When you have two sockets and you're combining them, one of the projects that Igor and I were involved with like a couple of years ago is just connecting two TCP sockets, you'll get an improvement in TCP performance. They just a magic of it. Just look at KTCP, it's on YouTube. Lifetime safety means that there is no kind of several bugs that you can handle, get into, and no hot buffer allocations, right? So you pre-allocate the memory, you don't allocate anything on the fly, and simple AD mapping, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, instead of handling KSLR and saying, hey, this is the kernel address, now we need to remove the base and kind of the offset. It's not very complicated, but for the initial implementation, that's kind of the sum of the problems kind of resulted in our module that having prime the memory. So kernel components today, we have the buffer pool allocation, we have the socket management, we have the IURing interface to interface between your application and your kernel sockets. True zero copy, it's in the works. You have this user space library that you can create context, destroy context, allocate buffers, free them, sockets, listen. It can be, you know, sending, receiving. It's basically a socket API. And here is kind of a chunk of an actual code. You can get it on GitHub today. You receive buffer, and then, well, it's not a very good chunk of memory, but here you receive bytes, and now you send them with the context that you created. And this is the out socket, and this is the buffer, right? It's the handle offset, is you want to send it all, length, and some type, right? And here, you just flush it. It's an IURing application, and you just send the, not the bytes, right? You just send the metadata. That's all you did, right? Performance expectations. We're talking about, from previous experience, we're working at 40 gigabit NICs, 100 gigabit NICs. Again, if you're working with a 10 gigabit NIC, you're probably okay with copying as well, but again, it very depending on your exact use case. So with traditional, you have two copies. It'll be pressure is, you know, yeah, it's there, right? You copy a lot of bytes, and you have some latency again because you're subunit caches and wasting cycles on copying, you're not efficient, right? Mmap zero copy, you don't have actual copying, but you are there inside very critical paths of your process managing your vegetables, and it's inefficient. Zero overhead means that you have none of it, right? You're just receiving handlers and sending handlers away. So why Ceph use, why are we having this discussion in Ceph SDS? Is because one of the use cases that we want to do first is the Fuse client, right? So Fuse is a, I don't know how many are familiar with it, it's basically a user space interface for your abstract virtual file system, right? So you have Fuse in a Fuse kernel driver, and all the callbacks for a regular file system operations are delegated back to the user space caller, right? So we have the user space client, and we want to receive the bytes from the network and keep them inside the kernel, and then push them back into the Fuse client and back to the user. So today, Fuse client would receive the bytes, copy them into user space, then copy them back into Fuse, and then maybe copy it back, I'm not sure about it, back to the user again, right? So it's three copies. With our solution, the initial copy is missing, obviously. The path between the network and the Fuse, there are a couple of ways to go about it. I'm kind of split between splice and maybe seeing if IOUing can be optimized. But if it's done, basically we'll have data arriving, the logic of a Fuse client remaining in user space, and the actual bytes moving via one of the available mechanisms into the Fuse kernel driver and then to the user, right? So it's both send and receive, just, you know, the other way around. So basically, aside from Fuse providing the bytes to the user, there are no copies. Okay, skip the button. So you have splice, IOUing, maybe use some BPF, I don't know. I was just thinking about it. Implementation status, as I mentioned, most of the things are done. I need true zero copy. Then we'll talk about Fuse integration, some performance benchmark, RDMA support, I don't know, just, you know, vibing. What else do we need? So library integration standalone demo is available right now. Again, need to see if what's up there is compiling. Then we will need to integrate with Ceph Fuse and use KPAS for, you know, large operations, right? What else we can do? We have additional things in SDS, like or Ceph specifically, Ganesha, right? With Ganesha is a user space process that's, on one hand, is a Ceph client, and on the other is NFS exporter, right? But it doesn't actually need to touch any of the bytes that it's servicing. So having Ganesha use this kind of solution is ideal. It will just collect identifiers from the kernel, keep the buffers wherever they may be, depending on the caching algorithm or the caching policy that Ganesha may have at hand at the moment, and then service it as many times as it needs to, right? So Ganesha is the ideal client, but it's kind of, you know, down the road because there are, you know, many complexities. Some other, there are non-file system solutions, CDNs, right? So when you have a file stream, like a movie stream, right, you just receive it, and then whenever a client that is close to you needs to see whatever, you know, whatever kitten, dancing kitten you want to see, you know, it's serviced from the kernel. Some Memcached, Redis, again, for the same use case. You receive whatever you want to service, but you keep it inside the kernel memory, you keep the handler, and all the logic that you had remains unmodified. And that's kind of the general proxy pattern. So let's talk about the key takeaways. You have zero overhead is better than zero copy, right? None of the usual things that are that we have today with zero copy solutions are here. So it's zero, right? So it's zero overhead. It's a handle-based architecture. The reason why we chose this, it's very unintrusive, right? So it's a kernel module that can be built outside of tree, right? It can be just our own implementation, so I don't really need to worry about upstream things, but you know, it's in the plan. Proxy overloads benefit, like everything that I mentioned. So any feedback, any at all feedback, because again, this is work in progress, is welcome. The 50-70% production is if you're going up to a 100 gigabit NIC, yeah, you'll be spending about 70% of your CPU just moving bytes. If you go about, you know, 100 gigabit NICs and up. So I, you know, going forward, and again, 100 gigabit NICs are here for, you know, been here for since about 10 years. So it's now. Questions? Thank you.
First a comment. If you put Ganesha up there, of course, Samba is a similar one. Mm-hmm. And the second question I have is, your API calls seem to have Ceph underscore in there.
That's true.
I mean, how is this Ceph specific?
Okay, so it's a good question. So it's a double question. Yes, it's both Ganesha, it's both Samba, it's just an example. We can use anything else as well. Why does it have Ceph? Because I'm bad with names and we can change it. There's no actual Ceph. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the difference between registrar buffer and buffers from iOS and
I'm sorry.
IO-ring,
yes. From the
perspective,
yes.
Work as the IDs on the level of transport. So you can queue multiple operations, referencing on the buffer by the offset.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the difference between that approach and the
register? I'm not sure. I can repeat it to the. Let's take it out later.
Like, okay.
Can you speak up, please?
There's a zero overhead, so there's no reason for it, I guess. But you don't think that like, you need a read access for processing, just checking there's no corruption, counting bytes, or whatever. Like when you look at the chain from, network card to network card, you think you can transmit it as is without having a look at it?
Yes. So the question is if we might still want read access, or in this case, full read access to validate MD5 sound. It's usually done by the NIC today. So what you get is what you get. You don't have additional validations on the CPU, right? We do have a peak logic inside that we can get because you receive a stream of bytes. That's TCP. You still need to understand how to divide it logically. So you do have peak, and peak means that we copy some of the bytes, and you know it depends on you what is how many bytes you want. So from safety for the quality, it remains like a lot of the making sure that no bits were flipped is done on the hardware level, right? Both on the receiver and the send side. Don't use the DDR5, I think the DDR5 sides. But other than that, you'll be good. Okay? Good.
You also already mentioned it, but I think the main thing here is you also need RDMA support pretty early. Because, I mean, this is where you have zero CPU for the data transfer.
So the question is about RDMA. RDMA is nice. The problem with RDMA is twofold. One is that you need dedicated hardware. And you don't have it usually, right? Even for Rocky variants, where it's over RDMA. most people won't have it, right? And the other is, it's kind of a competitive solution in a way. Like RDMA doesn't need this. And kind of the only benefit for RDMA would actually be any application that actually does need to read, because it writes into your user space memory and then you can access it.
But if you're designing a common API to do zero copy, you need to talk.
It's not a common API. I don't want to talk about, I don't want to implement IB verbs inside of this.
Okay.
It's distinct. It services a very specific network proxy zero copy solution, right? For if you're not a network proxy, if you're not proxying some stream from one side to another, you can do, you know, something else. Go ahead.
If we have time,
sure.
Unix domain sockets.
Hmm?
Unix domain sockets.
Okay.
If I have a user space process talking to queues, I want to ship that without any zero copy whatever to.
Okay.
Do you have that in mind?
No, I don't know, but again, I'm not sure. So you're talking about Unix sockets and you want to do zero copy with fuse from user space? Like,
something like that. I mean,
so again, fuse, it you know.
I mean, I'm writing now a user space
file, not a network file system.
So I'm not coming from kernel to talk to fuse daemon, I'm coming from user space to talk
yeah.
to fuse daemon. And I want zero copy.
That's not a network, that's not a network proxy.
We have one more question over there before you get into the implementation.
What about clarification?
Yeah.
The user space registers the buffer.
Yes.
The kernel manages it. But in this, we go overhead. What you're proposing is not even register a buffer, but the kernel manages its own buffer and
yes.
sends it over to the user space with ID.
Yes. Right? So IO Ring is just the interface to communicate with the kernel and the user. There are multiple ways about it. IO Ring just seemed the most suitable for it. It's for the interface, for the communication, not for the data transfer. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.